I read about the moderator of a Presbyterian church in Melbourne, Australia, who was welcoming Hudson Taylor with a very flattering introduction. Hudson Taylor, of course, was the founder of the China Inland Mission. And when Hudson Taylor stepped into the pulpit in that Presbyterian church in Melbourne, he quietly said, "Dear friends, I am a little servant of an illustrious master." The late A.W. Tozer, one of the giants of Christian theology, was once presented to a congregation in a very similar manner. And his response was, "All I can say is, dear God, forgive him for what he said. And forgive me for enjoying it so much." After preaching a sermon on humility, one day a woman approached the pastor and said to him, "Pastor, humility is my forte." Well, this evening, you members of the Guild begin your third session in the series, What Does the Lord Require of You? And 2 years ago, we were focusing on doing justly. Last year, it was loving mercy. And in this coming year, you're called to walk humbly with God. And from the moment we're born, we're all on that journey, aren't we? No two journeys are ever the same. And I've been thinking this week of the journey that David Walliams has been taking over the past week or so as he's been swimming down the River Thames through all that effluent that we're told has flown into the river recently. When he started out that swim, I expect he was full of enthusiasm. But as the days have gone on, as the effects of Thames tummy have set in, I expect that each plunge into the River Thames has been less and less enthusiastic. And probably each day has found him longing for the end of the journey. And we're all like that, because we all start out on the journey of faith full of enthusiasm. But little by little, we find that the journey is not as easy as we thought it was going to be. And we get tired, and we get diverted, and sometimes we get completely lost. And so it's good for us, and good for you as a guild, to take time regularly to pause, to check our bearings, to reposition ourselves and to make a new start. And that's what we do tonight at the start of this new session. And of course, this pattern has been established by God in creation. 6 days of creating, and then on the seventh day, we were given a day of rest. And in the cycle of guild sessions, we have paused, and now tonight we make a fresh start, walking humbly with God. It's part of a series, and firstly, to act justly. Well, we were thinking a couple of years ago that that means to do what is right, what is just. And justice is rooted in God's character, and so therefore it's seen as a quality found in a person who loves God, this quality of acting justly. And people who love God, work for fairness and equality for all, particularly for the weak and the powerless that are exploited by others. And just in the news tonight, we've heard of those who were exploited by others. And we have to act justly towards them and to people like them. Then there was loving mercy or loving kindness. That's also a character trait of God. And human beings who love God are to display loving kindness and to display faithfulness towards each other, especially towards the poor, to the meek, the weak, and the needy. And God's desire is to build righteous faith communities, willing to display their love for God by loving other people. Jesus died on the cross in order that we might choose to love God. And we do that in response to his act of loving kindness, God's act of mercy. Tonight we come to walking humbly. with God. And the purpose of the phrase, walk humbly, is different to the previous two phrases, because you'll recall that both justice and loving kindness are character traits of God. And these traits are to be emulated by those of us who claim to love the Lord. They indicate how we should treat others. And I guess it could also be argued that humility is a character trait of God, one that we could also try to emulate. But that's not what's being communicated here, because here in Micah tells us this. He says, "What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Micah's telling us through that phrase that God is concerned with us having a right and proper relationship with him. "For he acts, walk humbly with me." Be in a right relationship with me, God says, and you cannot fail. The Spirit of God, through these words of the prophet Micah, calls us to demonstrate the reality of our faith by living it out in everyday life. And I think the key phrase to this verse, or this passage, is actually the word walk. The Hebrew word that's used here is a word called halak. And halak is a word, I'm told from reading in books, that gives the impression of a fluid motion, such as with a river, bringing us back to David Walliams, Swimming the Thames. And so we are, in fact, to flow with God, being careful to put God first and to live in conformity with God's will. Our life journey here in the prophet Micah is likened to a swim down a river with God as our constant companion. When we walk humbly with God, then our life will demonstrate the characteristics that are evident in God himself. And the evidence of our walk will be witnessed in our acts of kindness and mercy and compassion and justice and the like. And the flip side of that then becomes that as soon as we feel that we are the ones responsible for these qualities, then we are not walking humbly with God. I read of a young man who once received a medal from an organisation which used very extravagant language in extolling his accomplishments. And jubilantly, the prize winner went home to his mum and repeated these words to her. And then he asked his mum, he said, "Mum, how many great men are there in the world today?" And his mother pondered for a while and then very wisely said, "One less than you think." Very sadly, today we are surrounded by the me mentality. It's all about me. It's my life, it's my money, it's my possessions, it's my relationship, my focus, my decision, my church, my needs to be met. It's all about me. But when we listen to Micah, "Walk humbly with your God," then we realise it's God's money. It's God's possessions, it's God's relationship, it's God's focus, it's God's decision, it's God's church, it's God's will to be met. The fundamental basics for walking humbly with God is recognizing that we cannot live without God. Jesus promised his disciples, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." And with that promise of God's Spirit, we don't have to go it alone. We're going to pray just now, and I loved the first hymn because it's a hymn of Scripture, isn't it? And a form of music that I'm growing to love, I'm not quite sure I'm ready for a visit there yet, is the music of the Taizé community. And I was thinking, there must be a little Taizé chant about walking humbly. And I couldn't find one, but I did find a song that's very like a Taizé chant. And I thought in our prayer, we could use this little simple song, which is called, What Does the Lord Require? The words are, What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require? To do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. And the tune is something like this. What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require? To do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require? To do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Give us, O Lord, an eye for injustice. For it's only when we are able to recognize injustice and feel its awful sting that we will be moved to make things right. What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require? To do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Give us, O Lord, a tender heart. For sometimes we are too hard-hearted to recognize when we have been uncaring, unfeeling, or unkind. What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require? To do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Grant us, O Lord, the ability to view life from the journey. For all our lives we have been taught to make others proud and to be proud of ourselves, to hold our heads high, all the while missing the virtues of being poor in spirit. What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require? To do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. God, our Father, tonight as we dedicate our guild for another year's service within your Son's church, we pray for all its members and for all its office holders, for those in this place and those elsewhere. We pray for those who will visit and share throughout the coming months, that through all our talking and listening, our sharing and caring, you will teach us to do justice, love kindness,
and walk humbly with you.
What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require? To do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God.